This is Palm Sunday. It's a celebration of the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. And it was at a high point in his popularity, at least towards the end of his life. Coming to Jerusalem, he had an entourage. He had people that supported him. He had, in fact, seen Lazarus. He raised Lazarus from the dead just a couple of days before the Palm Sunday entrance. He had also seen the conversion of Zacchaeus in Jericho. He had healed lepers. He had healed blind people. It was a time of praise when he came in Jerusalem. Yet he did not stop and congratulate himself on his ministry. He didn't stop and say, "Wow, I'm doing really good for a poor boy from Nazareth." No. What did he do? Here's what the scripture says in Luke 19. It says that when he drew near and saw the city, that is Jerusalem, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they're hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation." That word visitation is only used in Luke's gospel, and the other gospels don't use it. And that word visitation is used earlier in the gospel, and it's always associated with mercy. That he visits with mercy. And they came with mercy, but people did not put their faith in him. The church initially was all Jewish, but for the most part, they did not put their faith in him. But his heart was broken for the lost. Now, churches are special. We really are. We all have a story to tell. We all have some personal miracle in our life. We didn't get here by accident. God did something miraculous in each of our lives to bring us to faith. And we can all tell our stories, and they're fascinating to hear about the way God worked things together. The fact that something we ought to be doing is listening to one another and seeing how we came to faith and sharing that with other people. But yet, we need to be careful that we don't get all full of ourselves and forget that we're a people with a mission also. We're not to stop and just congratulate ourselves. Oh, aren't we special? Look at who we are. Rather, we are to understand that God has saved us for a reason. And Christ never lost sight of his mission. He came not just to be praised. He came to die and give his life as a ransom for the sins of the world. So we may be saved. We may know God. Well, there's three things we come out of this just very quickly. First of all, we see that the need in the world is great. He looked at the city of Jerusalem and said, "Oh, if you'd only known the day of your visitation, if you'd only stopped and considered the mercy of God that I'm bringing." Well, the world does not know the mercy of God. The world needs to, but it doesn't know it. And we're given that task to share God's love with the world. Jesus told three parables in Luke 15 about lostness. Remember the lost sheep and the lost coin, the lost son, the lost sheep. There are 99 sheep that were safe in the sheepfold, but one out of 100, one was lost. So the shepherd went out and looked for that one and brought it back. Or the 10 coins, a woman had 10 coins, but one was lost. She only had 9, and she put the 9 aside and searched all over the house for that one that was lost. Or the father that had 2 sons, one was with him, one was lost to him, and he had that lost son on his heart every day. And that's a picture of the compassion of God. Only in today's world, the ratios are different. It's not the 99 who are safe in the sheepfold and the one is lost. Often it's the other way around. There's one safe in the sheepfold and 99 are lost. Or it's one who is safe and 10 are lost. It's incredible what you see. Germany, 82 million people. Germany has a great rich Christian tradition, but there's not a lot of faith here. In fact, the Lutheran Church, as far as evangelicals go, it is about 27% of Germans claim to be Lutheran. But yet, less than 1 million Germans, Lutheran Germans, are in church on Sunday. It's about 744,000 Germans that are Lutherans that attend church weekly. The vast majority do not. Catholics are a little bit better. A little more than 2 million Germans attend Catholic churches. Among evangelicals like us, free evangelicals, there's only 1% of all of Germany is evangelical free. 1%. That means that, you know how we are, okay? Not all of us get to church on Sunday, right? So it's a very low attendance. And you look at other faiths, okay? There's other faiths around, yes. You know that Germany is actually 5% Islam today? And Islam's like Christians. Most of them don't affiliate with a mosque. But in Germany today, there's 2,500 mosques at least. Actually, they're not telling us how many mosques there are. There's probably a lot more, closer to 3,000, but they're not telling us. And the estimate is somewhere between 15 to 30% of Muslims attend a mosque or affiliate with a mosque. Well, that actually puts the number of Muslims who are attending mosques around 500,000, maybe even a million, where Lutherans are only 700,000, and evangelicals, what are we? Okay. That means in this land of Luther, land of the Reformation, land of the Holy Roman Emperor, Empire, all those things, this land has more Muslims attending mosques probably than Christians attending church. So 36% of Germans have no faith. 36% have no faith whatsoever. What about America? America's a little bit better, okay. Four times the size of Germany. Germany, 82 million. America is like 32-something, blah, 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 million. 320, rather, million Americans. Roughly four times the size of Germany. We have a huge evangelical population, the Free Evangelical Church. It's about 27% of us. About 25%, I'm going to say. About 25% of Americans are associated with the Free Evangelical Church, where it's 1% here, it's 25% there. Then you have the mainline denominations, which are all dying. They're only half the size they were 20 years ago. They're the ones that are still Christian, but they associate with the World Council of Churches and the ecumenical movement, and they're all dying because they haven't really continued to preach the gospel. That's about 15%. It used to be 30%. Now it's about 15%. But then you have the traditionally African churches, and that's another 6.5%. That puts about 50% of people in America are evangelical Christians in some shape, form, or fashion. But how many attend church? Well, it's a little bit better than Germany, but still not everybody attends church. And then you go down the line, you see Roman Catholic about 22%, all the way down the line in different denominations, different faiths, different religions. But you come down to about 22% of Americans do not believe. What's amazing, before we evangelicals pat ourselves on the back, and by the way, there are more free evangelicals in America than there are Germans in Germany. It works out about the same. Realize that. But before we pat ourselves on the back, you realize in America there is more than 110 million, at least 110 million people that are lost, that do not trust in Christ at all. Do you realize that means America has the fifth largest lost population in the world? China's one, China's number one, India's number two, Indonesia number three, Pakistan's number four, America number five. So before we pat ourselves on the back and say, wow, look at all these great churches, you realize that we have a huge number of lost people. So where are the eyes of Christ? What is he focused on? What is he thinking about? Does he come and say, wow, look at you? See, we need to be very careful that we don't get so full of ourselves we forget our eyes off the prize. I know some people get all upset because they weren't chosen to be this something in the church. That's the most unimportant issue on earth. You realize that? The world's going to hell. And we're worried that we didn't get this. Really? Really? Remember the disciples fighting over who was the greatest among them leading up to the cross? Where's the heart of Christ? Of course, you go to the Hispanic world. Large there. You know, it's interesting, in the Hispanic world, traditionally faith is very important, faith of some kind. But you realize in the last 20 years ago in the Hispanic world, it was 4% claimed no religion. Today, that number has doubled to 8%. So what's it going to do in another 20 years? And you go to Asia. Interesting thing about Asia. Asia, with this huge population, Asia, you realize that Asia has 7% Christians, which when you do the math, that means there's almost more Christians in Asia than there are Americans in America. It's amazing what's going on. God is doing a lot of great things in Asia. But again, traditionally some religion is important, but in Asia now it's about 24% have no religion. Most of those come from China, but there's still this thing growing around the world. So the need is huge, friend. The need is huge. But secondly, the enemy is real. The enemy is real. He talked about the enemy. That was a real political thing, a military siege of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. Christ was speaking around 30 A.D., but in 70 A.D., you know, Titus, Roman general with his legions came and destroyed Jerusalem, leveled the city. It was completely destroyed, as Christ said. But he said, the enemy is going to come and hem you in around you and destroy you and your children. And the vast majority of people that lived in Jerusalem after that siege were put to death. It's staggering, the number of dead. And those that weren't dead, those that weren't killed, were put into slavery. It was a devastating thing. But yet, we see something going on today also. That was also predictive of a spiritual battle we have. And the enemy has hemmed us in today as well. Do you realize what's going on in today's world? Do you realize the fallenness of the world? What's going on? Divorce, for example. Oh, we're used to divorce. Now we thought, okay, divorce, so what? It hovers around 40 to 60% in Western nations. Some are worse, some are a little bit better, but still it's a tragedy that almost half of our marriages end in divorce. What that means, though, is that we now have a statistic of single parents raising children, and there's no question what that outcome is, that if you have a single parent, that is, you're not in a mom and dad home, statistically, the odds are stacked against you academically, education, in drug involvement, in crime, all these things. The odds are stacked against you if you don't have a mom and dad at home. And what's happening to these children? Well, that's exactly what we're dealing with today. We're dealing with the outcome of this. It's not good. So the enemy has hemmed us down and bringing us down, even our children down with it. That's the world in which we live. So the need is great. The need is great. The enemy is real. But also the time is urgent. Christ said, if you only realize the time, this is your time. You know, it's tough to witness in Germany. We've been here for several years, and it's tough. You know, it's almost like you can't say anything. You're not supposed to say anything, but you got to say something, don't you? Is it just nothing? You can't say anything? Surely you can say something. The first place we lived in an apartment building. We became friends with a young couple in the building. We're still good friends with them. And God opened the door for us to share our faith with them about what Christ meant to us, what we're doing. And I wish to say they had come and joined our church, and I would have loved to baptize them, but that didn't happen. But they reconnected with their faith, and they both demonstrated their faith in Christ, reconnected with the Lutheran church, and it was good to see some faith being recovered in their hearts. So we put ourselves in God's hands. He can use us to share our faith with others. Just have to ask the God to show us. And then we need to step when he opens that door, step through and say, God, let me use me in this situation. Well, let's don't get caught up in ourselves. Let's look at what's going on in the world. Today in Israel, it's not the 99 sheep that are safe and the one that's lost. It's two sheep. 2% of Israel is Christian. Two sheep, 98 are lost. In Germany, what's it about? Maybe 12 or 15 sheep. The others, 85 or more are lost. Or whatever it comes from, wherever you come from, whatever it is going on, you see, yeah, there are lost people. We need to be God's light in the world. Baruch was Jeremiah's secretary. He was, for lack of a better word, that he was a prophet's secretary. And Jeremiah was the prophet as the destruction of Jerusalem back when the Babylonian army came and laid siege. And there was an opportunity. Baruch started thinking about himself and thought what he could do. And God says some very powerful words to him. In the 45th chapter of Jeremiah, you can read it. It's all about him. And God said to him, Baruch, are you seeking great things for yourself? Because I'm about to destroy this place that I built. Judgment's coming. Are you seeking great things for yourself? Seek them not. Seek them not. Seek great things for me, and I'll bless you. That's what a church needs to be. Let's don't get full of ourselves. Let's say, Lord, we're just a little group of people here, that we have you dwelling in us. A lot of miraculous stories, but there's a huge ocean of need out there. Let's keep our eyes on the need. Father, we thank you for your loving and grace. Lord, we pray that you bless us as we come to the close of the service. God, I pray that you would help us, strengthen us. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.